Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. The world is going crazy, and we're trying to stay sane. And that's why we have the Sabbath and the holy days, so we can understand what is going on. And always remember this: at the heart and core of nearly every problem in the world is the fact that men have left God. And they want to try and work it out their way. So therefore, they really don't know what the problems are. Why do we have an immigration problem? Well, we have people coming in, but why? We have a financial problem. We've got a lot of debt, but why? We have troubles in marriages, we have troubles in families, we have troubles in the society, we have murders and all of these things, but why? So they try and change this and change that and change the other thing, but they don't know the cause, and the cause is that they have left God. And no one anywhere at any time under any circumstances can prosper by leaving God. Now for a while, they may do well. I just read a report what happened to the United Kingdom. During the 1800s and 1900s, the pound sterling was the international currency. Till after World War II, then Bretwood took over. And then England went way down because of that. And every time, you know, they get a socialist political party in who gives goodies, they go deeper in debt, and then trouble comes. Instead of turning back to God, they put in the conservatives, and the conservatives rescue them for a while, and then they want more goodies, so they put in the one who promises the goodies, and then trouble comes and piles up. And sooner or later, it's going to be an avalanche. And avalanches have a way of coming very fast with no warning. And so the world has many avalanches coming because of it. So what do we do? How do we face the world? What do we need to do in our lives? Now, we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, as far as the world is concerned. True. However, we need to be developing the mind and character of Christ. And that begins with the Beatitudes in Matthew, the fifth chapter. And this will be faith unto faith, going through the Beatitudes, number 5. So let's come to verse 9. And we have one that is very rare today. Matthew 5 and verse 9. And the world can't find it. Let's see, in my lifetime, we've had World War II, Korean War, South Vietnam War, the Iraq War, several other smaller wars in between, all to end war because there is no peace. Verse 9, Matthew 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, the major peacemaking we're going to do is at the beginning of the millennium. So we need to look at the world and look at the society and see why there is not the peace. Okay? Let's come here to Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 48. Men have tried peace. Oh, let us do it our way. Isaiah 48, and verse 22. Let us do it our way. I have an idea. Verse 22, here's why. Very last verse. in Isaiah 48. Just a short little verse. Now, you can take this verse and you can apply it in many different ways to many different situations, to individuals, to families, to cities, to states, to nations, to organizations. All right? Verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Now, people don't consider themselves wicked. They think they're all pretty good. And their ideas are going to work. But unless they follow the principles in the Bible, even if they're not converted, they will have some success. But they're not going to cure the problem, because unless they believe what the Bible says concerning human nature, there's no way they're going to save the problem. All right, let's come to, since we're in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And this tells us exactly what we have in the world. Okay. Likewise, this verse can apply to many different sets of circumstances and people. And they always blame God. They say, well, where is God? Well, God is right where you told him to be. Get out of my life. Well, I want God. Yeah, but not, God is not going to bless you very much unless you do it his way. See? I want God my way. No, God says, if you want me, you come to me my way. So here's exactly how it is in the world. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, so don't blame God. Nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now look at all the difficulties that we're having right today as we're sitting here. Fires in Colorado. No one stopped to think about voting in marijuana and allowing that to be legal. No one thought about the case that happened where the federal judge says, well, it's all right to give 12-year-olds the morning after pill, and they don't even know how it may affect young people. And you can go on and on and on and on. Your hands are defiled with blood. War, murder, robbery, thievery, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. Whoopee. That sounds like all of the politicians. You know, here in California, we have a governor who thinks that a $1.2 billion reserve fund with a $40 billion debt is just fine. So what they do? None calls for justice. Well, there are a lot of people calling for justice, but not God's justice. Nor does anyone plead for the truth. Oh, they want the truth, but they don't go to the basic truth is the reason you're in trouble is because you've rejected God. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That sounds like Obamacare. If you don't think that's true, just wait. Just wait. All those young people who are so delirious in voting in our illustrious president because they like him. Wait until the IRS comes and announces to you your health care premium for an unemployed person. Don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be an awful lot of money because they've left God. So they try and do everything they can. Verse 5, they hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web, he who eats their eggs, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Their web shall not become clothing, nor shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Oh, yeah. How many abortions per day? 3,000? Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They have not known the way of peace. So how can they bring peace? We propose peace talks between the rebels and the Syrians. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Between the Jews and the Palestinians. Oh, isn't that wonderful? How long has that been going on with the Jews and the Palestinians? 40 years. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Everything is far from them. And those who try and speak the truth, bring out what is right, you're either hostile, bitter, antagonistic, or you're attacking. And here's how it comes out. All right? Let's pick it up here in verse 13. In rebellion and denial of the Lord. They deny him being atheist and agnostics. They deny him when they say, oh, well, you can be a Christian, but you don't have to keep the law. They deny him when they set up their own religions, when they set up their own ways of doing things. And the denial of the Lord. One little thing I saw on the Weather Channel. You know, sometimes you surf around and you get something decent to watch. And so I landed on the Weather Channel, you know, that exciting channel. And they were running secrets, I don't know if it was of rain or of the earth, but it was totally amazing. And here's something of God right before their eyes, and they say, this is amazing, and are flabbergasted by it. Now, we all know that in order for rain to fall, it has to have a little grain of dust in it. Okay? Does all that dust come from the earth? No, it doesn't. What they were showing was this. They're granules, small little granules of magnetite coming in to the atmosphere from outer space. And they don't burn up because they're so small. And they come down into the clouds. Now think of this concerning the bringing the flood and everything. Okay, they come into the clouds and get into the droplets of water. And then the water freezes around it. And so they showed a great downpour in a tropical area because all rain starts out as basically ice or snow, and then it melts as it's coming down. So they had this huge rain in a tropical area, and they gathered some of the rainwater, put it in a little container, and then they got a little magnet and put in there, moved that around, pulled it out, and here's all the magnetite from outer space. Not totally black, not totally covering the magnet, but enough you can see, yes, that came from outer space. Now, all of you atheists who believe in evolution, how did that happen? Yeah, they deny God. Mm-hmm. So what happens when they do that? Okay, turning the denial of the Lord and turning away from our God, talking perversity and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart, words of falsehood. That sounds like the evening news, doesn't it? And justice is driven backward and righteousness stands far off, for truth has fallen in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Now just think what would happen if someone would be, as the world would look at it, kooky enough to go stand at the Lincoln Memorial, quote Lincoln a little bit, and tell everyone that he studied the Bible every single day. And I'm standing here to bring you a message. On this side, we have sackcloth, and on this side, we have ashes. And God is calling all the politicians, beginning with the White House, he can come first, and you come and repent, and you change to sackcloth, and cover yourself with ashes, and go home and repent. and in 3 days come back, and I will give you God's solutions to your problems. Why? The Washington police would have you locked up. The CIA would be examining your mind. They would want to give you whatever they could to silence you, shut you up. Okay? Verse 5, yea, truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. When you turn from your former friends and you turn from your former sins, they come after you. And the Lord saw, and it was evil in his eyes, and there was no justice. Now, let me give you just a little Bible study for this week. I'm going to bring a sermon on it, plus some other things. Tie this in with the sermon I gave on the seven spirits, which are the seven eyes of God, and look up all the places where it talks about God sees and his eyes watch. There's even one psalm, I've been doing this just in the Psalms, but you go through the Bible. Hey, God is in real close communication to the earth, is he not? Yes, he is. Okay. Verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness sustained him. Okay? It's talking about the return of Christ. It's going to get so bad, that's the only thing that's going to be able to do it. All right. Let's talk about some peace. All right? Put in your notes there, Hebrews 7 and verse 2, where Jesus Christ is called the King of Peace. And that comes from Isaiah 6, so let's go back there in Isaiah 9, rather, in verse 6. Since we're in Isaiah, that'll make it an easy turn. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Now, this is quite a thing. You know, the more you think about what God did to come as a human being, and what Christ went through, absolutely incredible. Just very humbling. There's no way you can go through that and understand that you really do not make a close connection to God because of what he's done. All right, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Because after all the time that men, the thousands of years that they have had for government, they have proved they don't know the way. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Now, how do you call a baby the Mighty God? The Everlasting Father, which will take place when the millennium begins. He will begin to be a father. The Prince of Peace. So that's where you get the King of Peace in Hebrews 7 and verse 2. So let's talk a little bit more about the peace which comes from God and how do we have it. Now, it would be nice if we, you know, how do you say it? Before you correct someone else, straighten out your own life. And it would be nice after the event which scattered many of the people of God into many different churches if they would quit attacking one another. We've got too much to do. We don't need to attack each other. Now, we can make a differentiation in wrong doctrine, but let God take care of the other things that are there. All right? Now, let's come here to Psalm 34. So among ourselves, we have to be peacemakers. Now, we'll talk about that in just a bit, what we need to do, because Jesus gave the instructions on how to make peace. All right? So let's pick it up here, Psalm 34. Let's begin in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now notice, he's putting God first. in everything that he's doing. That's the key. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And we're going to face a lot of those in the future, because as we look at what the next one is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So we need to be delivered from all our fears. Okay. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. So we can get our lives squared around in the way that they need to be first. Now notice what happens then. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. That's how you're delivered from your troubles. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who makes his refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints, for there is nothing lacking to those who fear him. Then it talks about the lions, that God even takes care of them. Verse 11. Come, hearken to me. Now, hearken is an interesting word, because you notice in it is the word hear. Hearken means listen to, obey. You children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loves many days, that he may say good, see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it in everything that you do. Now again, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to his cry. Who are the righteous? Well, those that follow all the verses up to that point. See? Seek peace and pursue it. That's the only way that you can have peace among each other. Now, how do you settle the disputes? Well, let's come to Matthew 18. Now, too many people have been trained in their church to be totally dependent upon the ministry to solve everything. So if there's something wrong, you run to the minister. And then you tell the minister. And then the minister goes solve the problem. That is 100% completely wrong. Now, here's a principle they've even understood in business. Solve all the problems at the lowest level possible. Okay? So remember that. Now let's pick it up here. Matthew 18, and let's pick it up here in verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save those who are lost. Now, how many people think they deserve to be called? None of us. So that means we're in a category of the lost. We need to be saved. Okay? So he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that did not go astray. Likewise, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So then, based upon that, in other words, if you are going to follow Christ, here is how you need to deal with each other, because it is so then. If your brother sins against you, run to the minister. No. Go and show him his fault between you and him alone. Now, that's going to take some prayer to do it. That's going to take some courage to do it. And you might even say, well, some of the things I have to say may not be necessarily pleasant, but give me some space and let me speak. And if there are some things that I say which are not correct, I'm very willing to change. Okay? This is all a part of being peacemakers. So that if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault between you and him alone. Now, is that the lowest level possible? Yes, indeed. And if he's willing to hear you, you have gained your brother. Now, isn't that the best way to do it? Of course it is. That's what Christ said. And when you do that, you find that you can really accomplish what needs to be done to correct the problem. Now, it may be hard to change. And it may be hard to take the message of offense from the person bringing it because pride enters in, eh? Yes. But nevertheless, if you listen and change, that's what Christ wants. So then he says, okay, now what's going to happen if he won't listen? Because that'll be the next question, right? Verse 16. But if he will not listen, take with you one or two others so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he fails to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now the minister can get involved at that particular point. But telling it to the church, generally it will end, if handled right, with verse 16. Rarely will it go to verse 17, you tell it to the church, and he still won't listen. Then he says, if he won't listen, then you are to beat to him as the heathen and tax collector. Now notice verse 18, because this is important. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. Now that is a key translation from the Greek, because the Greek is in the perfect tense. In other words, already judgment in heaven has been given on this. So you seek the will of God, and you don't come up with something contrary to the word and the will of God. See? Now if you do it right, then it will be bound on earth. Same way with loosing. If it's in something that has already been loosed according to the word of God, then when a decision is made to loose something, it is done. It's loosed. Now notice how important this is. Now, verse 19, let's get the verse back here in Matthew, the fifth chapter, okay, and we'll find it here. Okay, verse 37. Matthew 5 and verse 37, tie that in with verse 19, Matthew 18. So whenever these situations come up, you have to do this. Now, sometimes you don't do it perfectly. Now, sometimes, you know, Paul warned the Ephesians to not lie to one another. So that can happen with the brethren. So when a problem comes up, you don't do that. All right? Verse 37, Matthew 5. But let your word be good, your yes be yes, and your no be no, for anything that is added to these is from the evil one. Okay? Now come back here to verse 19. Again I say to you that if two of you on earth shall agree concerning any matter that they wish to request, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. So if you agree with anything, brother to brother, sister to sister, within the church, then you have to follow through and make it right. If there are problems and difficulties, then repent, forgive, go forward, do what is necessary. Now then, here comes the question. What if you got someone who's got a great number of difficulties? What do you do with them? So Peter asked. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And I imagine at that he thought he was being pretty generous. Okay. Notice Jesus' answer. I do not say to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So peacemaking starts with each one of us in our lives and with those around us. Now, peacemaking also requires two to agree. Where you have made the attempts and you have apologized for what you have done wrong or whatever, and you try reconciling, and there is no reconciliation under any circumstances, then you just put them in God's hands and continue to pray for them. That's all you can do. If it is something that is really causing a tremendous problem, then you may have to go through steps two and three. If it's someone not in the church, there are bound to be offenses to come because, you see, after it says, blessed are the peacemakers, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because they may not agree. So what you have to do in that particular case is walk away from it, continue to pray about it, and ask God to help them. All right. Now, let's see some things concerning peace. Let's come to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Peace comes from God. Now, as we're turning to John 14, let's think about this. John 14, okay. John 14. Now, let's think about this. Wouldn't things be a whole lot better? Now, I'm talking not just to those here, but I'm talking to everyone who gets this sermon, regardless of where you are. Wouldn't things be a whole lot better if all of us would draw closer to Christ, ask for His Spirit, ask God to help us overcome our carnal mind, because our carnal mind is what? It is enmity, and that word is enemy against God. See? And when we let our carnality come out, and it does, how many here have never had their carnality come out since they've been baptized? Well, okay, no, see? And you can do it. Okay? What do? Well, you forgive each other, you let the sun go down on your wrath, and the next day is better. All right? Now notice what Jesus said concerning peace. Let's pick it up here in verse 26. But when the Comforter, also Helper, comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things. Now this is going to teach us how to have peace as well, see? And bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it fear. Peace of mind. Now we're going to see how we have this peace of mind. Now, let's come to Colossians, the third chapter, and let's see what is to rule in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3. Now, Colossians 3 talks about a lot of things we need to overcome and put away, doesn't it? Yes. So let's pick it up here in verse 8, because most of us have put off all the things from verse 3 to verse 7. So let's pick it up at verse 8. But now, you should also put off all these things: wrath, controlling temper, indignation, malice, blasphemy, and foul language from your mouth. I was watching the other day, I was watching the swamp people catch their gators. And they're this father and son. And they're strong, and they saw this gator out in the where they were looking for their lions to get their gators. And I'm sure all of you have probably seen some of this. But anyway, the son was a sharpshooter, and if they saw a gator up on the surface of the water, you know, their body is below the water, but their eyes, they have these big eyes, and their snout is up out of the water so they can see them. So the son was up on the bow of the boat, and he shot it. Boom! So they ran over there to get it as quickly as they could. And what happened, he hit him. He hit the alligator and wounded it and kind of knocked it unconscious. So as they get the boat up and they're trying to get the hook to try and get in it, and it weighed 750 pounds, so it was a real big one. So they're fighting, do this, do that, get it, don't let him get away, shoot it, it's coming back, you know. And then the father, he let out some explicit swearing language, and you know, they put the scramble up on the screen so you wouldn't hear it. And after it was all done, and after the gator was in there, the fellow said, "Oh, Jesus, forgive me. I really didn't mean it, but I was trying to get this gator." Now, that shows one thing that is to his good. Now, he's not called to salvation, okay? But it's a principle. Be ready to repent. See? And that's the best way that you make peace. All right. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 9. Do not lie to one another. There it is. Seeing that you put off the old man together with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Well, there is neither Greek nor Jew. Interesting, you put the Greek first. Circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all things in all. Then he says, put on then, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affections, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Okay? Developing the character. This is why we have Sabbath services. They have found this. The way that a person learns something and remembers it is reviewing it, going over it. And that's the way that it is with Sabbath services. You come every week, and God puts his spirit here. We have God's spirit in us. And every week we learn things and are changed and are brought to the way that we need to be through the Word of God. And it's all a wonderful spiritual experience that we're all participating in, see? That we can change and develop the character of Christ. So he says, verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any has a complaint against another, and we saw how to do that. That's peacemaking right there. Even as Christ forgave you, so also you should forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now notice what he says next. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So true peace and true peacemaking come from God. Now there are many other things that we can add to it and look at it and see what we need to do. So go ahead and do your own Bible study on it. So we'll finish this section on peacemakers by coming to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Okay? Just turn back a couple of pages. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Now this tells us how to do it, see? Because everything we do outside of our bodies comes from inside, beginning in our hearts and minds. So this is why we have to have the laws and commandments written in our hearts and minds. This is why we need to develop the character of God. And remember, when the millennium comes, we are going to be peacemakers on earth. And so now we have a perfect place within the church and within the brethren and people we know to be peacemakers as much as possible. All right, verse 4, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in everything, and the peace of God, regardless of how bad the circumstances may be, which surpasses all understanding, it has to come from God, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? So then he says, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, you do also, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that's how we are to be peacemakers.